Just because you wrestle alligators for a living doesn't mean you should have the skin of one. Say goodbye to dry and cracked skin with Old Spice Super Hydration Body Wash with vitamin B3. Made for 24/7 renewing moisturization with daily use. With scents of vanilla and shea, people will think you've taken up candle making as one of your hobbies. And there is nothing wrong with that. Old Spice Super Hydration Body Wash. Shop Old Spice now.
Greeny with Mike Greenberg, the podcast.
Oh, we like to make you money, and that is the plan for this segment. It is Chris Carlin, Amber Wilson, in for Greeny on ESPN Radio and on the ESPN app. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. We welcome in Amber's new partner. Joe and Amber begins January the 3rd, 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern Time on ESPN Radio. He is Joe Fortenbaugh, ESPN sports betting analyst. And, of course, you know him from the Daily Wager every day on ESPN. Joseph, it's Chris and your new partner, Amber. How are you, bud?
Oh, I'm fantastic. Amber, it is always a pleasure to be talking with you. Carlin, I get better.
Understandable.
That's about right.
Now, just a minute ago, we were talking, Joe, about what it was like, because the last time the Vikings beat the Colts was 1997, and Bubba was making the point the last time he was in he was in middle school having a great time, and I call BS on that. That's garbage. Nobody had a great time during middle school. Did you have a great time in middle school?
No, I did not. I was telling Bubba this in the pre-show meeting, and I'm sure he relayed this to you, so now I'm going to have to say it on air. I was painfully shy when it came to the opposite sex all the way up until like my mid-20s. Like, I didn't come out of my shell until late. So middle school was when, you know, people started kind of flirting and doing all that stuff, holding hands in the hallways. I had no idea what the hell was going on with any of that. So middle school, best word I could use to describe it would be awkward. It was just, everything was awkward for me.
Yeah, you just described my life.
That's what I said, too. Yeah, well, you described Carlin's entire life. Yeah. Although
you
happily
described
married,
Carlin's so Friday.
Yeah, that's those are my plans for today.
Bubba peaked in middle school. I think that's what we really learned.
Yes, he's that stoked about middle school. It was like, damn, man, like high school is when you started to get the license. High school is when you made the contacts that could get you beer when you were underage. Like,
I said high school was unbelievable. I'm not. High school was phenomenal.
High school was Mardi Gras.
Yeah, all you're doing is right now making me angry with my parents for making me go to all boys high school right now.
Oh, because really? Did they have high school in 1824?
Yes, they did. Thank you.
But it was all boys.
Jerk. Yes, but it was all boys.
Women weren't allowed to go to school yet. So.
Yeah. Women weren't allowed to leave the house, right? That's how old I am.
Right, that's why I was all, I get it, yeah.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you, Bubba. Joe, let's make some money. Let's start with tomorrow night. I'm sorry. I'm really not. I apologize to Amber, but I'm not all that sorry. I just don't see it for the Miami Dolphins in Buffalo tomorrow night. Is this as much of a lock as I believe it to be?
Here's what worries me about the Buffalo side. People look at the Bills and they look at the home field advantage and then they see that there's going to be weather. We've got snow in the forecast and they think, man, that's a huge advantage for the Bills. I don't think so. This team is built to air it out and get into track meets. Like, it's a quarterback-driven team that loves to throw the ball. They don't have a power running game. So we saw this last week with the Jets. Like, in any other situation with nice weather, I think the Bills put it on them, just like I think they'd put it on Miami this week. But now you're going to add inclement weather to the situation. It's like, well, that hurts the Buffalo offense, which is the bread and butter of what they want to do. It's a 7-point spread. I think they make for an excellent 6-point teaser option. I do think the over has some merit in this game because we are going to see some guys slipping and falling defensively, which could lead to some big plays. But I want no part of Miami. And Amber, this is no disrespect. But then again, you're going to have to deal with this on a regular basis starting in January, so we might as well deal with it now. The Dolphins have just gotten pummeled the last 2 weeks. I hate the spot. Pummeled physically in San Francisco. Then they go play the Chargers and they completely lay an egg. And now it's their third road game in 3 weeks and it's outdoors in the cold weather. I just think it's a bad spot. So maybe Buffalo hangs a good number offensively, but it's tough for me to get behind either side at this point right now.
Joe, your answer started off so well, and then it swerved there at the end. Joe and Amber debuting January 3rd. I'll leave the fighting about the Dolphins until then. Let me ask you, though, about Cowboys-Jags. We had Rob Ninkovich on with us earlier in the show, and he actually is choosing the Jags to beat the Cowboys in this game straight up. Obviously, the Cowboys favorite in this one. What would you do here with Dallas?
I see it the other way. Dallas is one of my favorite plays this week. I think this is an excellent buy-low opportunity on the Cowboys. Well, what's the narrative this week, right? And what did Nick probably say? Look at how bad they looked against Houston, right? Oh, they were just terrible against Houston. That's where you make money in this racket. You don't just look at what you just saw and make your analysis based on that. And this is no knock to Nink in any way, shape, or form. But the look-ahead line for this game, which are point spreads here in Vegas that come out more than a week in advance, and they're great tools to look at how the market moves, it was Dallas -5.5. Dallas goes and lays an egg, but they still win. Jacksonville beats Tennessee. Line drops to 4. Some places have it 3.5. I think that's a great buy-low spot, right? Last time we saw Dallas look awful, they came off the bye, they went to Green Bay, they got beat by a bad Packers team. You know what happened the next week? They beat Minnesota by 37 points. I think the same thing happens here. I think they bounce back in a huge way in this game. Tyron Smith's going to play, it looks like, right tackle. That helps the offensive line. And for all the people talking about the look-ahead spot to the Philadelphia game, you can't look ahead to Philadelphia. You lose this game, you're not going to catch the Eagles in the division. Every game matters right now because the Eagles won't lose. So I think Dallas is the play.
Joe Fortenbaugh, ESPN betting analyst. Of course, he and Amber start their show 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern time on January 3rd here on ESPN Radio. Joe and Amber, looking forward to that beginning. Joe, we just got the news in the last 15 minutes or so that Mike White will not be cleared physically to be the Jet quarterback, medically, I should say. And so Zach Wilson is going to start this game against the Detroit Lions. How would this affect your view of this game?
Oh, this pisses me off so much. This pisses me off so much because the Jets were such a great bet this week. They were such a great bet. First off, let's look at what happened. The line was mostly pick 'em all week, which means there was no spread. You just have to pick the winner. And then it started to creep up because it was Jets money the last few days. Jets -1, Jets -1.5. That was the side. All right, number one, Jared Goff in cold weather for his career. He's been a disaster. And when you look at Detroit this year, I think it's 6 wins. Almost all of them have come exclusively against the worst defenses in the NFL, right? Like, you go through the defensive rankings of the teams they beat, the defenses stink with the exception of the win against the Commanders. The Jets' defense is legit. And when they play legit defenses, the Patriots shut them out. The Cowboys held them to 6. They don't perform well. So the Jets were the play. Then there's this announcement that Wilson's going to get the start. And you look at it and immediately the line swings the other way. It's like going from the starter to the backup. Like, if Lamar, all due respect to Tyler Huntley, because I think he's a very competent backup for the Ravens. But if Jackson's out, the line drops. Mike White being ruled out and going to the number 2 overall pick moved the line from Jets -1.5 to Jets +1. That's what people think of Zach Wilson. So now it's a stay away game, unfortunately, because I wanted to hammer the Jets. I can't back them with that kid at center. Is anyone even going to show up to try to back him up? I don't know, man. It doesn't seem like the locker room likes him all that much.
From one team, Joe, with hardly a starting quarterback, to another team with hardly a starting quarterback, let me ask you about what's happening here in Pittsburgh. Kenny Pickett's status for Sunday's games in doubt after his second concussion within 8 weeks. Obviously, Trubisky's been the backup there, but there's support now for Mason Rudolph, including from his teammates. Deontay Johnson says that he wants Rudolph out there. What do you do with the Steelers against the Panthers this weekend?
Well, Trubisky stinks. I mean, everywhere you've seen him, in every situation, he stinks. There's no reason to play him anywhere at all in the NFL ever again. We've seen everything we need across multiple teams. He does not make plays. If you bet on him and he's out there, it's like excruciating because he can never move the team down the field. It is incredible how incapable he is of playing starting quarterback in the NFL. If he's out, I still like the Steelers here. I think, again, we got too much of a line move. Last week, the Steelers were -3 for this game. Now they're +3. +3. This game has a total of 37 points. The bookmakers are telling you it's going to be a low-scoring game. So those 3 points are extremely valuable, way more valuable than they'd be in a game that's a shootout with a total of, say, 54-55. T.J. Watt on the field this season, Steelers giving up 19 points per game. T.J. Watt not on the field, 25 points per game. Carolina hits. They've been very good. They've been very physical the last month of the season. They've covered a lot of spreads. I think the line moved too much in their favor. I do find myself leaning to Pittsburgh here.
All right, Joe, give me a couple of last real bets that you love this weekend.
Baltimore plus the three against Cleveland. Deshaun Watson is not playing well. I think the Ravens are being undervalued. I'd also bet Watson to throw an interception. He's done one in each of his two games. The Commanders, I'd lay it with them over the Giants. Big Blue is what I like to call Minnesota Light. Okay, they're just like the Vikings. They've got a good record, but they're not a good football team. The metrics point to everything going the wrong way there. I like the Commanders. Lay the points with Fresno in their bowl game over Washington State. They have been a wagon since the Boise State loss earlier in the season. Jake Haener's healthy. Under in Florida, Oregon State, which is here in Vegas tomorrow. That totals 53 points. Oregon State should have no problem running the ball against the Gators defense. And then the World Cup, I'm going to put a little money on France to win it. The bet is France to lift the trophy. I'm not dealing with extra time, regular time draws. Eliminate all that crap. France minus 105 to win it. I think they're undervalued and people are buying into this narrative of, well, it's Messi's last game, last World Cup game, Messi, Messi, Messi. Okay, great. France has been fantastic. They're very deep. I think we're getting a good price on them.
Listen, when France and Argentina get together, you can throw out the records. I've always said that. Thank you, Joe.
My pleasure as always. Have a great show, guys.
You too. Joe and Amber begins January 3rd, 7 p.m. Eastern Time, 7 to 9, Monday through Friday. Joe Fortenbaugh, ESPN sports betting analyst. He and Amber beginning their show. Looking forward to that at the start of the new year. It's Amber Wilson and Chris Carlin in for Greeny on ESPN Radio. Presented by Progressive Insurance. Save when you bundle motorcycle, RV, and boat insurance. Visit Progressive.com. Up next, when you start looking forward to the draft, there are some teams that are having great years up top. Are there deals that have happened that you would redo? This is very bizarre when you look at who's going to be in the top five come the NFL draft this year. It's next. It is Amber Wilson, Chris Carlin, for Greeny on ESPN Radio.
A Christmas Day, NBA doubleheader. Giannis and the Milwaukee Bucks head to Boston to face the Celtics. Then in San Francisco, Steph Curry and the Warriors welcome John Morant and the Grizzlies. Coverage begins at 4:30 Eastern on ESPN Radio, ESPN, and on ABC.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code PARLAY and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code PARLAY. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Greeny, the podcast.
For Wilson and Chris Carlin, filling in for Mike Greenberg here on Greeny. Greeny is presented to you by Progressive Insurance. Give him a follow on Twitter at Chris Carlin. You can check me out as well at Amber W Sports. Carlin, I wanted to mention this interesting article that Bill Barnwell has on ESPN.com, where he reminds us of the fallout from some of the trades in the NFL in the offseason. And it's a big factor when it comes to the 2023 upcoming NFL draft. So to give you a reminder here, in this upcoming draft, the Rams, the Broncos, and the Saints should be picking at the top if it was to happen today, and there's not really any reason to believe that they won't still be there by the end of the season. If it was to happen to today, they'd be picking at the top of the draft. Instead, it will not be those teams picking at the top of the draft, but instead the Seahawks, the Lions, and the Eagles who will have those draft picks. So I want to go through these trades individually. I want you to tell me what these trades look like now where we sit in week 15 in the NFL season, and if you do them again, if you were either of these teams. So let's start with that Broncos-Seahawks trade. We know this trade was about Russell Wilson. Denver sent first round picks in 22 and 23, second round picks in 22 and 23, a fifth round selection in 22, and a trio of players in exchange for Russell Wilson and a 2022 fourth rounder. Who won this trade?
Oh, that's funny. That's funny. Can you imagine right now being Denver? You did all of that to get Russell Wilson, and then you handed him $250 million. And here you are thinking that maybe his career is not that far from over. I personally believe that we need to look at Russell Wilson another year with a competent head coach. But, I mean, this is highway robbery. This could end up being, Amber, Herschel Walker territory. That's what this could turn up to be. The Vikings-Cowboys trade from back in the day. Right now, Seattle is picking second in the draft. Second. I mean,
that team picking second. And the beauty of it, too, if you're the Seahawks, is they don't have to address the quarterback position with that second
pick,
right?
See, that's really what's interesting. Like, I think if he had won last night, it might go a long way. Do you feel like Geno's going to be their guy next year?
I think that he's only 32 years old. I think he's shown enough this season to show that he's certainly fully competent of running that offense. I don't know if you use that kind of draft capital also on a quarterback. I mean, it's kind of like what we're talking about when we're having the Brock Purdy conversation, right? But it feels like that Russell Wilson in Seattle might have had a lot more to do with Pete Carroll's system than maybe even Russell Wilson. I realize there's an aging factor there with Wilson. Maybe he's physically declined a bit in his mid-30s. But if you can take a guy in Geno Smith, who's been a journeyman for a decade in the NFL, and plug him into that system, and all of a sudden he looks like this version of Geno Smith, then why do you need to spend the second overall pick on a quarterback, even if you are going to move on from Geno?
Yeah, I think it's one of two things. I think they either love one of those quarterbacks and they'll end up bringing Geno back, or I think they ride with Geno, they give him a 2 or 3 year deal, and they could potentially trade out of that if there's somebody that loves that pick, that loves, you know, either C.J. Stroud or Bryce Young, whoever is going to be there. If they could get a haul for that too. I think, boy, they're in an exceptional position.
Yeah, I mean, this story is still unwritten, because from that perspective, you're right. Like, they could even turn this into more than they've already turned this into. Also, the Russell Wilson factor, I think we're all hesitant to fully call it a wrap yet, and so it's hard to fully evaluate this trade. But right now, it doesn't get uglier than that trade looks for Denver.
No, it does not. I mean,
I don't know how you bounce back from
that. Frankly, I'd forgotten everything they gave up, and I'm not even counting the players. Two twos, two ones, and a fifth. I mean, jeez.
It wasn't even controversial at the time. It didn't even seem crazy. It was like, oh, yeah, well, that's what you give up for a superstar like Russell Wilson.
It's crazy. Nobody could have seen this coming.
A swing and a miss. And it's the type of miss that can, I mean, it can hamstring your franchise for years and years and years and years. So hopefully things will look better than they do right now in Denver when it comes to that trade. Let's talk about Rams-Lions. Now, the Rams sent its 2021 third-round pick, first-round picks in 22 and 23, and Jared Goff to Detroit. In return, they got Matthew Stafford. Now, this one, I think, is a little bit more difficult to break down, because Matthew Stafford this year is one thing, but don't forget that guy did get you a ring, or certainly help you get a ring last year.
Yeah, listen, you have flags, as Barnwell points out in the article, flags fly forever, right? That championship flag is always going to fly, and they did. I mean, that was the whole mentality. Blank them picks. Let's go make that happen. So they have their championship. However, I think, given how well Goff has played this year, given where they are with Stafford, let's be fair, Stafford might be done. You know, when we're talking about a neck or a back situation, he might be packing it in. I don't know that the Rams certainly are going to do their best to play their best the rest of the season, because I don't think they're in a hurry to hand away two franchise quarterbacks. Because theoretically, they could be with the first-round pick this year that they gave up, and with Jared Goff, if he turns out to be the Lions guy.
I would call this a win for both teams. Like, this, to me, is the rare win, right? Because the Lions weren't going to win anything with Matthew Stafford. So why hang on to him? Why not turn Stafford into these picks? And in return, you happen to get a guy in Jared Goff who now actually is fitting Dan Campbell's system here in his second season in it. And it looks like that maybe Goff, who they have on the cheap, can go ahead and be the guy moving forward, right, for that team. It's a development process, and he's been developing in Dan Campbell's system. So it feels like a good move there for the Lions, because why not? And they got the picks out of it. From the Rams side of this, though, like you said, the flags fly forever. The rings are always there on your finger. And this sport is all about winning championships. And I would absolutely mortgage my future for a Super Bowl right now. I think most people would. Most teams would. And so, yes, this season it looks ugly. But all you have to do is go back to last season to remember how pretty it looked. So I think both teams won, Carlin.
Yeah, I think it's fair. I think it's fair because, yeah, listen, the Lions are clearly headed in the right direction.
I mean, it's seemingly so. It didn't look like it at the beginning of the season. I mean, clearly it might be overstating it. But yes, things have certainly gone well. It's remarkable how good Jared Goff has looked lately in Detroit. All right, the next trade here in Bill Barnwell's article on ESPN.com was the Saints and the Eagles. And of course, this one's the thorn in the side, I would imagine, for so many NFL fans on the outside looking in, because we're talking about an Eagles team right now that's sitting atop the NFL. But New Orleans sent their first, third, and seventh round selections in 2022, a first rounder in 2023, a second rounder in 2024. Two of the Eagles in return. Philadelphia sent a pair of first rounders in 22 and a 22 sixth rounder to the Saints. So lots of toggling around in the draft. And now you have the Eagles, again, with the Eagles record this season, drafting at the top of this upcoming draft.
Listen, this is, yes, it's brilliant, but let's also call it what it is. It's falling into it a little bit for Howie Roseman. This is, there's some luck involved here. It was smart to make the trade that he did, because you're positioning yourself, more importantly, for this year in case Jalen Hurts didn't work out. Mm-hmm. In case you had to go get a quarterback, you had two first-round picks in a draft that, at the time, was thought to be more quarterback-friendly or more quarterback-loaded. There are three of them now. Now, obviously, they don't need one. So now, they're in a great position to do a lot of different things. I give them a lot of credit for making that deal, and they have some foresight in preparing themselves for this, for the possibility that it didn't happen with Hurts, but at the same time, I think they did a great job here.
And they turned some of these picks into A.J. Brown, right? Which certainly has a lot to do with them not needing to replace Jalen Hurts at this point. So certainly I would say advantage Eagles. You can check out that article, Bill Barnwell's article on ESPN.com. Coming up here on Greeny, Amber Wilson and Chris Carlin filling in for Mike Greenberg. The Steelers, apparently some of those players in the locker room, they want Mason Rudolph. Who you got? That's next.
Whether you rent or own, Geico makes it easy to bundle home and car insurance. Go to geico.com today.
Allstate wants to remind fans that mayhem is everywhere. Like when your fantasy league meets up at your house. Everything's great until the hot plate gets too hot for the tablecloth. Now your kitchen's up in smoke. And if you don't have the right home insurance coverage, the cost to fix this is anything but a fantasy. So switch to Allstate, save money, and get protected from mayhem like this. Not available in every state. Based on coverage selected, subject to terms, conditions, and availability. Savings vary.
Greeny, the podcast. Previously on Greeny.
The Dak slander has got to stop. This is getting to be ridiculous. Is he playing like the best quarterback in the NFC? No. Is he playing the best we've ever seen him play? No. They've had some turnovers. They had a bad game against the Texans. And I think if Dak plays as well as he's capable of, I absolutely think they have a chance to go to the Super Bowl this year.
Was that Greeny or was that Bubba? I mean, it kind of sounded like Bubba, at least with the thought. Weekly Rewind is brought to you by Dell. For your small business needs, call a Dell Technologies advisor today at 877-ASK-DELL. Amber, listen, Dak's playing well. We talked to Rob Ninkovich earlier in the show. The thing that he said you would point to is that's the biggest concern. Is he going to turn the football over? He's got 9 picks this season.
He certainly does have the 9 picks. Listen, the scrutiny comes when you've got the star in your helmet and when you're the quarterback of the Dallas Cowboys. So the scrutiny is coming. Frankly, no matter how Dak is playing, Dak has to be out there blowing out every category that we have and every metric we have to evaluate the sport for there not to exist any scrutiny when he's in that position. I do agree with Greeny that I think sometimes because of that, it can seem overamplified, but that just goes what goes along with being the quarterback of that team and a team that frankly has underperformed now for so many years when we consider the talent on that team that the excuses run short there in Dallas, even with the fact that he's had some of the health problems here over the last couple of years. So that scrutiny, you mentioned Rob Ninkovich there, Carl, and I wanted to run some games by you from this upcoming weekend. And Rob Ninkovich was on with us earlier. He had the audacity to take the Jacksonville Jaguars over the Dallas Cowboys. I thought it was really interesting. Obviously, Dallas favored in this game. So let's start here, though. What say you, Chris Carlin? Can Jacksonville get it done?
I get why he picked them. I understand that when you realize that they are playing better over the last couple of weeks and you look at how Trevor Lawrence is starting to look the part. I can't buy in fully yet. I can't buy in fully to the Jaguars being able to win this game yet. This is a game that I think will be a close game, Amber, but ultimately the Cowboys have to try to keep pace here. I do think there is... I don't think they're going to win the division, but I think it's important for the Cowboys to continue to play well down the stretch of the season so that when they go into the postseason, no matter what seed they are they're just playing at a high level because look at what's happened the last few years when they've had these opportunities. They have come up very small, and it doesn't matter what seed they are. I think this is a realization that they've come to.
Can I say something that I don't, is this controversial of me to say at this point? Like, hey, Trevor, it's about time. Is it too soon? I mean, we're in week 15,
no, I get
right,
it.
Of this NFL season.
I
understand
it.
What happened with Urban Meyer and everything around that program last season. But it has taken us until now, when Peterson's supposed to be the quarterback whisperer, to really see much, frankly, from Trevor Lawrence for that Jags team. Yes, it finally seems like now the guy that I was told was the most surefire can't-miss quarterback coming out of college like in ever in the history of the universe, the way people were talking about Trevor Lawrence. Now we're finally seeing, hey, he might be pretty good. I don't even know, frankly, if he's going to be that good. But he might be. He might be pretty good. He might actually have it. So good news there for Jags fans. I just can't believe that they're going to get this done when you're talking about a Dallas fan or a Dallas team. That still has a lot to prove as well. Like, Jacksonville's trying to make the postseason, too. They're sitting at 10th right now in the AFC. But this is the Dallas Cowboys we're talking about. And this is the noise surrounding Dak Prescott that we're talking about. And we know about the comments that Micah Parsons made about Jalen Hurts and about the Eagles recently and that all the talk about that. And I don't think either of these teams in the Eagles or the Cowboys, frankly, are going to be caught looking ahead, although we know that they both probably are looking ahead to that matchup that they have coming up in another week. I think that Dallas will be able to be focused on this one enough to get it done against the Jags. Let's talk about the Titans and the Chargers. Interesting teams sitting in the same position right now in terms of record. How do you see this one, Carlin?
Listen, I don't trust the Chargers as far as I can throw them. I don't, and the reason is the head coach. This is a game that the Chargers need in the worst way. The Titans don't necessarily need it because they are in a position of a 2-game lead, but they have not played well, as we know. the Chargers need this game in the worst way. And so when it boils down to it in that situation, when I kind of look at it and I feel like it's a little down the middle, I'm going to take the team that's a little more desperate. And so in this spot, I would take the Chargers to end up beating the Titans. The game is in L.A. Not that that matters, because there's no home field advantage for L.A., either L.A. team.
Both teams sitting at 7-6 on the season. The Titans, though, sitting in that 4 spot in the AFC right now, with the Chargers sitting in that 8th spot in the AFC. Let's talk about Steelers-Panthers. Why on the earth are we talking about this game? Well, it's interesting what's happening with Pittsburgh right now, because Mason Rudolph might be the guy. We know Trubisky's been the backup there. Kenny Pickett, he suffered his second concussion in 8 weeks. And yet there's these Steelers players who are coming out, like Deontay Johnson, and they're saying, like, Mason's our guy. We want that dude out there under center, which, I mean, I think is news to all of us. What do you make of this matchup?
I mean, unless all of a sudden he has really developed and practiced the last year and a half, I have zero interest in watching Mason Rudolph play because, well, he's not good. He's not good. Like, do they not watch the actual tape in the Steeler locker room? Like, Deontay Johnson, I could not get over what he was saying. Then again, he's catching balls for him every day. I'm sorry. Mason Rudolph's not any good, and I don't understand backing
him up. Is Mitchell Trubisky, though?
No, nobody's good. That's the problem. That's why they're not very good. That's why they're headed for their first losing year under Mike Tomlin.
And yet we just saw Brock Purdy look like Mr. Irrelevant, coming off of Mr. Irrelevant out there for San Francisco. So very confusing when we consider Mike Tomlin's system, certainly one that we believe in. In fairness, we just saw Geno Smith, right, prove us all wrong after like a decade. So maybe Mason can go ahead and shock us all, shock the world, and turn things around.
I will be stunned if that happens, but God bless him if it does.
Speaking of shocking the world, the Giants certainly did that for the first half of the season. Not so much lately there, Carlin, which a lot of people predicted. They're going to see Washington. Washington's gone the other direction, getting better here throughout the season. What do you make of this matchup, Giants-Commanders?
Amber, I think the Giants are toast. I really think they're done. I did the game the other day with Sal Powell. Granted, they're going up against the Eagles, but they did not look like a good football team, and certainly not a functional offense. Saquon Barkley's numbers have dipped dramatically over the last several weeks, and he's not fully healthy either. He's got some sort of a neck issue. Daniel Jones is back to being Daniel Jones. I just don't see it for the Giants here. I think it's been a nice story at the beginning of the year, but I think it's falling apart now.
Saquon Barkley has admitted that he's lacked the last couple of weeks. He says he's back, though. He's getting back there. We'll see. Not an easy defense to try to get back there against. Colts-Vikings. We mentioned Vikings haven't beat the Colts since 1900. Basically, it feels like, what was it, 1997, we said? What do you make of this matchup?
Yeah, I'm on the Vikings here. I think the Vikings, they're obviously not playing well. But if I'm in that locker room, don't you have to be feeling a certain level of disrespect right now with the fact that you've won 10 games already this season and nobody would have expected that? Now, granted, they've won 10 games and their point differential is in the negative, but... Mm-hmm. I would expect the Vikings to get back on the beam here after losing to Detroit last week.
I think the Vikings can finally get it done, right? 1997, those Bubba's favorite middle school years that
yes.
He just loves so much. This will be the first time that the Vikings get it done since Bubba was in middle school. Let's finish up here with Ravens-Browns. The Browns are actually favored in this game, which might surprise people, I believe, by 3 points, according to our friends at Caesars. No Lamar Jackson for the Ravens. Deshaun Watson seems to not be good at football anymore. What do you make of this?
Yeah, I think for Watson, it's just going to take some time. And getting back in for the rest of the season, I think it's going to be a slow process. I like the Ravens in this spot, even without Lamar. I think that they are just overall a better team. The one thing that has bothered me about the Ravens all season, Amber, is that they have had these fourth quarter blown games, and I don't believe their defense is nearly as good as it's supposed to be. That troubles me a bit. It does not trouble me in this situation.
Feels like to me that Deshaun Watson, like this is almost a second preseason for him, because of course you're going to be rusty when you haven't started in that long. And so he gets sort of like the rest of the season is going to be the preseason for him. And then we're going to have an actual preseason for him. And then I feel like we could evaluate him next season. In just moments, we're going to have who you got. But Carlin, tell us about the bowl.
Yeah, well, listen, ESPN Radio has you covered for bowl game action. Tune in tomorrow. It is the Cricket Celebration Bowl, followed by the Jimmy Kimmel LA Bowl and the New Mexico Bowl. Coverage begins 11 a.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio and on the ESPN app.
Life is a series of choices.
Who you got?
Make a decision.
Say it! Say it!
All right, I'll say it.
Who you got?
Ah, yes.
Who
Bubba,
you got?
The floor is yours.
Finally, I mean, as always, Carlin takes way too much time, but...
Well,
we
what
got
else
there.
Is new?
Well, who you got?
I'm making up for time
thought,
that
I,
lost
I thought that
in
was actually
middle school.
Excellent. I was looking at the clock. I thought the pacing, it was pacey. It was good. I was trying
no,
to
No, Amber, this
on
is
track.
Just Bubba taking
No, I mean, you were fine.
Shots.
You were fine. No, I mean, yeah. Again, I'm just we were like I'm just tired of hearing ago. From Gary Granger every week in our meeting, and he's like, what is the deal with Carlin? And I'm like, I don't know. It's ridiculous.
It's a great question.
Can't be controlled.
It's a great question.
Stuff. But anyways, who you got? Brought to you by Granger. And as we've been doing all year, we have the ESPN Radio Pick'em Challenge, and as it's been happening all year, Canty and Carlin are doing terrible.
We are not doing terrible. We have won six in a row.
I know. You,
the last
sadly,
2 weeks
you
and
have.
We're right back
so
in
right
it.
Now, you are in third place, which is not bad. So Freddie and Fitzsimmons are in first. Greeny's still in second, and you guys are tied for third. So
see, here's
somehow
the thing,
you have won six in a row, which
I mean,
is
here's
shocking.
The problem here, Bubba. Greeny's doing this whole, you know, George Costanza opposite thing,
yep,
whatever
sure
his
is, sure
instinct is, and it's working for him.
Yep.
And I find that problematic in and of itself. But that's fine.
All right. So let's see what you guys can do. Can you make it nine in a row? Let's see. So we're going to first one here, Dolphins at Bills. This one is Buffalo -7. Who you got?
So, Amber, I talked to Canty earlier. We've been talking about this game all week, as everybody has on ESPN Radio. He is with me on this. We love you. You know we do. He wanted me to relay that to you. Mm. You got no shot tomorrow night.
Okay.
How are you? Give me a percentage in confidence that you feel in the Miami Dolphins.
No, do
night.
Not do that to me because a lot of my Miami Dolphin fan brethren listen when I'm on the radio and they are going to go after me. I want no part of tuning on. I don't want anybody coming after me. I don't feel great about it. Chris Carlin, if I'm being honest, I want to feel great about it. I don't think the Dolphins are the team that they've looked like the last couple weeks, but that Buffalo team have been high on all season, and I told you, I'm terrified. I'm terrified of me walking to my car for 10 minutes in Connecticut next week when I'm up there, so can't imagine playing in those conditions.
Bubba, we're taking Bills -7.
All right, sick name drop that you talked to Canty earlier. That was
oh,
cool.
I know. Look at me.
Greeny is going with the Dolphins on that one. He's taking Miami +7. Next one, we're doing Lions-Jets. And hey, we got to go with this one because we started before we got the news. So we're doing Lions at Jets with the line of even.
So, yeah, Canty sent me that pick before we got the news that Zach Wilson was playing. And so I now have to try to climb into Canty's head on this, what he thought. I think we have to still take the Jets. I'm on the Jets in this spot. Even so, I just think they have a better defense overall. That's the best unit on the field. Let's go Jets -1.5.
Greeny going with the Lions on this one.
Well, that's the opposite stuff. That's yeah. That's Greeny being Greeny.
All right, come last on. One.
Record speaks for itself, though, Carlin.
Yeah, I guess.
Bengals at the Bucks, and this one is Cincinnati -3.5. Who you got on this one?
We're going to go Bucks +3.5. This was a Canty special. Myself, I could have seen going to Bengals. I think the Bengals are playing really well. I'm very high on them, and I'm not high on the Bucks. I don't trust them. But Canty wants to take the points here, so I will ride with my partner. We will go Bucks +3.5.
All right, Greeny also going Tampa Bay. And who you got? Brought to you by Granger with supplies and solutions for every industry. Granger is always there to help.
By
call
the way,
clickranger.com or just stop by. I'm doing the read for crying out loud.
Okay, all right.
Do we need a by the way right now? What?
Well, I was just going to bring up that I think the last pick with the Bucks, we're going to have to say #KOD. And that's brought to you by FanDuel Sportsbook. Make every moment more. I'm sorry to interrupt you.
You interrupt. interrupted his read with your own read.
I know.
We got dueling reads here.
I actually
fan dueling reads, am I right?
Hey, see what you did there.
28 years ago today, Dumb and Dumber was released. Yes. Who you got as your favorite Jim Carrey movie?
I mean, that's right there. I mean, the original Ace Ventura was brilliant.
It's so good.
But
Dumb and Dumber is unreal.
Dumb and Dumber is just amazing, you know? And, I mean, and finally redeem yourself. Like, that's as good as it gets. Amber, what do you got?
I don't love Dumb and Dumber.
Whoa!
Oh!
Whoa!
I'm sorry, I don't. I guess I'm going to go with Ace Ventura because of the Miami factor.
Okay.
As well. I thought Liar Liar was funny.
Liar Liar is good, but I mean, what are you talking about? You don't like Dumb and Dumber?
Mask, not my favorite.
Did you like the Jim Carrey?
Dumb and Dumber is too dumb for me.
So you're telling me there's a chance.
Did you like the Jim Carrey in the serious role of the Truman Show?
I mean, I thought that he was shockingly good.
That was a good movie.
Yeah,
too.
I mean, it was all right.
Yeah.
I guess I'm not a Jim Carrey kind of gal now that I'm thinking out of it.
Still going Dumb and Dumber.
Yeah.
Bubba.
I mean, I feel like I still quote it like four times a week.
This is probably why I never related to women.
And it was also probably out when you were in middle school, Bubba, which makes sense now because.
Yeah, it was I was just having a great time just quoting it with my friends. By the way, Friday will be National Sangria Day. So I just want to know, will you guys be celebrating?
Well, I'll be ordering it up on Grubhub, apparently.
Yeah, apparently people do that. We learned that earlier in the show as well. Friday, like as in today, is National Sangria Day?
How do you get
next Friday.
Oh, next Friday. I do like both red and white sangria.
Okay. Listen, I like sangria. I'm a fan.
It can be a little sweet for me. I'm not really a sweet drink kind of gal, but sangria.
Are we having too many national whatever days? Like, how do you get that?
I mean, yeah, that ship has sailed.
Yeah, far too many national whatever days.
We probably have anymore. A national whatever day.
It gives us a lot of content for these shows, though. Also, Bart and Han, they have content.
Thanks for listening to Greeny the Podcast. You can listen live each weekday morning at 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio. Or watch the show through the Watch tab on the ESPN app. Also catch Greeny on Get Up, weekday mornings at 8 on ESPN. And also available wherever you get your podcasts.